Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las
podcasts. From the Defont LeRoy Recording Studios in sunny Tampa, St. Petersburg, Florida, in Westerly, Rhode Island, this is episode number 235 of the Por Favor Manténgase Alejado de las podcast. I'm Mr. Hurley down in sunny Southwest Florida, joined by Mr. Klinsman up in Westerly, Rhode Island. Good evening, Mr. Klinsman.
Hi, Michael. How are you today?
I am doing well, thank you. How are you doing?
You have a very PBS voice going right now, public radio vibe.
Yes, sir. I just took about 7 blood pressure pills.
Oh, that's good.
Yes.
Throwing them down like Tic Tacs?
Yes, sir.
You just jingle them around in your hand a little bit and just pop one back?
Yes, sir.
Any impetus for this, or you just...
Actually, I'm only kidding. I don't have blood pressure pills, but been doing some deep breathing patterns today.
Oh, some, like, meditation and yoga?
Yes, sir.
Just some things getting to you lately?
Yes, sir.
Is it anything you'd like to discuss here?
Well, VRBO hasn't called me back. Two specific locations that I've inquired about this weekend, about handing them my money to take their vacant townhomes for the weekend. And I've yet to hear back. It's business as usual in the state of Florida.
So people that are looking to rent rent out their home.
Correct.
And you're looking to rent it.
Correct.
And pay money for it, correct?
Typically the way capitalism works as far as I understand.
I'm just trying to make sure I get everything straight. So you want to give them your money for
correct.
A service that they're offering.
Correct.
Yet they don't have the... I don't know if it's just time or... the care or whatever it is to just respond and say, oh, sorry, it's already full. Or
well, actually, it's on the VRBO website, which is Vacation Rental by Owner.
Right.
So it's actually already automated and done. So, you know, when you type in where you want to be and what you're looking for, they say dates available.
Oh, so it already shows it's available.
Correct.
So the owner just has to get back and say, oh, here's how we do it. Let's process this transaction.
Correct. Like you search for dog-friendly ones and... you know, you pay a pet security deposit, that which
sure.
I have no problem doing. And I just said, just a quick question. I would like to know when check-in is, when check-out is also. And I have about a 45-pound golden retriever that is house-trained, and he will be crated when we are not on the property or when we're sleeping. Look forward to hearing from you, sir.
And they're just crickets.
Crickets, yes, sir.
So did you pay, like, do you have to put a deposit down, or you're just inquiring?
I'm inquiring right now. I'm ready to put the money down and things.
And for, this head for like, Saturday, Sunday, Monday?
Yeah. It was going to be, like, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, and just, so, obviously, at this point in the game, there's probably not a lot of demand. People either have their plans or they don't at this point.
Yeah, I think if a place is empty tomorrow night, I don't think there's going to be a huge demand for people
Big line, okay.
Yeah.
And yet, still, crickets.
That is correct, yes.
And you said it's more than one that you've reached out to.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's bad business.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Like, either just take it down or respond, oh, sorry, there's been a mistake, or we decided to use it this weekend ourselves.
Right.
We didn't take the availability off, just anything.
Right.
Because then you don't want to waste your time reaching out to another 4 or 5 places.
Correct.
Try to get, you know, you shouldn't have to do that. That's too bad.
Yes, sir.
Now, when you were in business, when you were in Minnesota, if somebody called you and had a question about, like, taking care of their pets and things like that, did you just ignore them when they wanted to give you? No, you didn't. Okay. I didn't know if it was just a common business practice. If that's
No, I like to make money.
Interesting. So you're saying... Wait, hold on.
All right.
So you're saying if you have a business or some kind of enterprise where you're trying to provide a service to somebody else... and that person wants to pay for that service, it is in your best interest to get back to them on that?
Yes.
Oh, all right. Well, I didn't go to Bryant College and get a fancy business degree, so this is all new to me.
Yes, I can tell. You're very into it. Your ears perked up like a golden retriever. Mm-hmm. You're eager to learn.
Yes.
And Professor Hurley is here to teach.
Oh, very good. Well, I'm glad. Just study at the feet of the master here.
Let me give you another example.
All right, I'd like to hear this.
Okay. When somebody comes in, instead of jumping on their clubs and cleaning their clubs and guilting them into giving you money, the guy turns around and said, "Hello, Mr. Hurley, here's $10 in my hand. Would you mind cleaning my clubs and then putting them into my vehicle as I leave the golf course?"
Oh, that's a good,
and
good
then
proposition.
I would say, yes, sir, I'd be glad to take your dime.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to no thank you, do it yourself?
Yes.
Or just walking away?
Or just walking away.
I see. So that's a good example. All right. I'm going to start taking notes on this because this is all very interesting to me and new and unusual.
Yes.
Very good. Very good. So you're having trouble finding accommodations for the weekend is what you're saying here.
That is what I'm saying, sir.
I mean, I realize it's last minute, but they're still showing availability.
Boy, imagine if you had an income property and you said, oh, man, I'm not going to get this thing rented this weekend. It's the first
Labor
weekend.
Day, it's like
Labor Day, this and that. And me and the wife already have plans to go to Miami or Georgia or somewhere. And then some guy says, hello, sir. I'd like to give you my money. Just could you answer this one question for me?
Right, exactly.
Wouldn't you just jump on your email right away?
Now, how long ago did you send this question?
Last night. And then it said response rate is typically 1 hour, so...
There's no excuse. Like, if you had sent it this morning and they didn't get back to it yet, maybe they check them at night, I'd say, okay, give them a full 24 hours. But if it's been a day, then, yeah, there's no excuse for that.
No, sir.
Well, that's too bad. Because there's not a lot of options, I imagine, for the pet-friendly ones. That's probably more rare.
No, there's actually quite a few because, you know, these are targeted toward families who probably have pets.
That's true. And they don't really... I mean, that's you're doing a courtesy to give a description.
Yeah, just to let them know what I was going to be bringing up. Yep.
But it doesn't really specify. Well, some do say like small dogs only and things like that, I imagine, right?
Right, yep.
That's very interesting. Well, I've never done any of that. Have you ever used this service before?
No, but I know my friend Mark up in Minnesota used to rent cabins in Wisconsin and northern Minnesota using this service. And
same one. Is that Mark Janamine?
Yeah, that's Mark Janamine.
Okay. That's very interesting. Yeah, I've seen, I know we did, not that I had anything to do with it, but when we went to the Outer Banks, my in-laws went through Airbnb, which is basically the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's just different, you know, different websites that do it, but same concept. You put it up yourself, you rent it out, you deal directly with the owner, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
That's too bad. Hopefully someone gets back to you and you can spend your money and boost the economy a little bit.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, baby.
And I hear the Willings, the Good Willings are in town.
Yes.
And is that the reason you wanted to go up there?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we'd like to go up for the weekend, but the fact that they're there is definitely what's pushing this along.
Yeah. Now, what kind of, these places look pretty nice, I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, like the one townhome was like a 3-bedroom, like 2.5 baths, 1,500 square feet, much more than what we need, but...
Right.
For the price range, like $85 a night. I mean,
that's
can't go down to a 1-bedroom for 60. So it's like, all right, I'll take a 3.
That's so stupid. How cheap it is.
It's so ridiculous. And it's like one of them like has like a huge pool, and it's really nice.
Like a private pool or a community? No, community.
But it's like right in Celebration. So it's like it was like 4.7 miles from property. I mean, perfect.
Mm. Yeah, especially being a local. I mean, that's the way you go. I know you like staying on property, but
like this was gonna be. Just a park only thing because I said, you know what, we'll take the dog for a walk, we'll put him in his crate. I said, but I don't want to leave him in his crate, you know, all day, like all the whole time. So I said, then we'll just come back around 1 or 2, take him for a walk, maybe relax, watch a college football game, and then head back at night.
Yeah, go for dinner and
do the parks at night, watch some fireworks, you know.
That's perfect to be able to do something like that for like $300 for a weekend.
Isn't that great?
That's a no-brainer, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's amazing. Yeah, I mean, I love staying on property. I know you do too. But more and more, I think about that kind of stuff, and it just seems like a no-brainer.
Yes.
To rent, like especially with the girls, being able to give them each their own room when you go. It's a lot. You can find the places that have their own private pool, like in a lanai and things like that.
Oh, like I was looking at some houses, and for crying out loud, you guys can get a house with a pool and a hot tub for $110.
Right.
And to spend $30 extra a day is a no-brainer if you're going to be there and you. Want the pool and you're going to just relax and absolute no-brainer, yeah.
Yeah, that's. I might have to look into that. Anyway, anything else you'd like to talk about? College football is back. We got some good UConn football action to
UConn
kick off
is playing
season.
The national champions.
The defending national champions.
Defending national champions,
I believe, right?
Exactly, yes. The UCF Knights.
The Knights of UCF. Both teams are looking pretty good for early on so far. Yeah, so you must be excited because now you got the Gators, you got SEC football, 80 degrees coming, 85 degrees.
That's a stretch. That's going to be a while.
I'm just saying, just in general, like October games where it's like 82 at kickoff.
Yeah, that's nice, isn't it?
That is nice. I love it. I love college football.
Yeah, this is the last weekend for you, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be nice. It's going to be warm still for a while. I think we're going to have a late summer based on what's been going on this year.
Okay.
But that's just a hunch. I have no real real facts to back that up. I do have to say, right now, I do not have an unofficial beer sponsor of the week, and would you like to know why?
Sure.
My beer fridge has gone on the fritz, so oh. I don't have anything chilled at the moment.
What happened?
It's old. It's a very old. It was my wife's grandmother's refrigerator.
Yeah. Okay.
So we inherited it, and we've had it in the garage since we moved in the house. And the other day, I went in the garage, and I was like, "Oh, it kind of smells in here." So, you know, I opened the fridge and it seemed fine. Then I opened the freezer and the whole back was iced over and the whole front was like warm.
Did you have food in it?
There was some food in there.
Don't tell me good stuff.
Nothing good. I don't use that freezer as much because we have a chest freezer also in the garage for like the good stuff. But
okay.
There was a couple things in there. So I had to empty it all out and now it's just kind of sitting there. I haven't unplugged it yet because I'm not ready to fully defrost it and like leave it out in the driveway to let it defrost and drip everywhere. But that might be next weekend's project.
And obviously, you don't get these things fixed, right?
What's that?
You don't get these things fixed.
A 30-year-old refrigerator is probably not worth fixing.
Yeah, I mean, you can get a cheap pile of garbage for a few $100, I would assume, right?
Well, now that I have the chest freezer, I think I'm just going to get like a dorm fridge.
Just for some beers and sodas or something.
That's it. Yeah, just enough to hold like 30 cans or whatever. One of those small ones for like $90.
Yep.
So that's the plan, unfortunately. I liked having the big fridge, but I didn't really use it that much. Just for Thanksgiving, it was nice to have for the extra space to do some food prep, but we'll make it work.
Yep.
Anyway, that's all I have for this first segment. You have anything else you want to add here?
Yeah, did you see Doug Willing's meal?
Oh, that looked gorgeous, didn't it?
Is it sad that I knew what it was and what the price was?
You knew the price, you knew what it was, everything. That was pretty good.
That's sick, isn't it? It shows you what I do at night, doesn't it?
Dedication, I think, to the show.
To the show, yeah, you're right.
You're just doing your research.
Oh my God, a cowboy ribeye with that filthy mac and cheese?
I bet that was good.
Oh my God.
Is he a good man? Does he get it like medium or less, or is he kind of like a medium well guy?
I you know what? I don't know. I'm going to go on a hunch and say he's a good Minnesota boy and he goes medium rare.
Yeah.
But then again, I met this goofball from Minnesota who I used to work with at Wells Fargo.
Yeah.
And we were having leftovers one time. We were eating downstairs. Not leftovers, but I was having my lunch downstairs watching TV. He came down and mic'd a steak. I said, ooh, I said, that smells good. Where's that from? He said, Murray's, which is one of the top steakhouses in Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And then he proceeds to put ketchup on.
Oh.
Ketchup, Bill.
I mean, it's A1 is one thing. I can get on board with A1 if it's not like an expensive cut of meat.
If you do that at Shula's, I'm taking it. You're gone. You're getting chicken fingers, and I'm throwing that in a to-go box. I'm just letting you know. I will get that off with a napkin, and I will say, get him the kid's chicken fingers. He's done.
Oh, I'm not going to do that at Shula's. I'm saying if you went to, like, Restaurant 99 and you put A1 sauce on your steak, that's not a bad thing.
No, but would you ever put ketchup on a $60 steak?
No, never.
Okay.
No, I wouldn't do that. I've never even heard of ketchup.
I've never even heard of ketchup on a steak.
No, that's unheard of. That's not good. I think Donald Trump does that. I think he got some flack during campaign for putting ketchup on a steak. Yeah,
He got flack?
No. He's usually pretty well respected in the media. So
I wouldn't think that they would bust his chops for putting ketchup on a steak.
Although, of all the things they bust his chops for, I was on board with that one.
Oh, all day, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Charlie. Right.
Take us to break, William, here.
All right.
Yeah.
Alright, we're back from break. Episode 235. I just took a couple of more blood pressure pills.
Oh, good.
Get us ready for this
part. It's because you're thinking about the ketchup on the steak. That had to get your blood pressure boiling.
Yeah, it did. It did.
That's not a good thing.
No.
Can you imagine, like, if you were on, like, think back to the days before you met Susie. If you were on, like, a first date, and imagine going to, like, you take her out to a nice restaurant. Like, not, like, super fancy, like Capital Grill, but pretty nice. Like, even Twin Oaks nice.
Yeah, Twin Oaks is good.
And you go there, and you're sitting down, and she orders a steak, and you're like, oh, that's a good sign, you know? If you you go on a first date with a girl, she's ordering a steak, that's a good sign.
Correct.
And then she says medium rare, you're like, oh, that's a very good sign. And then all of a sudden it comes out, and she just gets the Heinz 57 and starts hitting the bottom of the bottle and just dumping it all over that thing.
Done.
Would you just say check, please?
Done.
I'm gone.
Maybe do a John Stevens and go to the bathroom and then never come back. She's got an Uber.
This call to the bullpen is brought to you by... Yeah, that would be... just leave.
By the way, John Stevens used to be... He was a running back for the Patriots back in the 80s.
Oh.
So that was... Yeah, that was like a term that we would say, we're going to John Stevens it. Run or something. Yeah, John Stevens.
Gotcha.
I think he played with Muzy Tudupu.
Mark Van Egan.
And who was the other guy? I loved him with ESPN. Craig James,
yeah, yep, from yep, SMU.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. All right, so what's the topic this week, William?
My friend Jay Morby had a Muzy Tudupu jersey.
Oh, that's
nerdy. Classic, isn't it?
With the red with Pat Patriot on it.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. It was a Muzy Tudupu jersey. And like he won it like at a raffle at like a Little League raffle, and it was autographed.
Ooh.
Like he was tall like me, and I think it was like a medium, but he still wore it. Like we'd play like two hand touch in the street, and he'd have his Tudupu jersey.
He wore his autographed Muzy Tudupu.
Muzy Tudupu jersey, yeah. Yeah, isn't that beautiful?
That is very nerdy. I mean, you don't usually bring those into gameplay. It's not. It's like I'm not playing Pepper with my R.A. Dickey ball. You know?
No. You got to protect that R.A. Richard Reed ball.
Yeah. What's our topic here?
Well, we're going to talk news. We're originally going to get back into the Grand Floridian, but there's a lot of stuff surfacing at Walt Disney World this week.
Yeah, you texted. You didn't even ask me. You said, we're talking news. And I was like, oh.
That was it.
He's got something on his mind, and I was very excited to hear about it. Because if you get that definitive about something, I know you're ready to either really go off on it or really praise it. And I don't know. We haven't gone into it too much ahead of time, but based on the blood pressure medicine you've been taking, I wonder what it could be. I have an idea, but I don't know exactly what we're going to be talking about. So why don't you bring up the first news subject you want to get into here.
All right, let's talk Otter's Point. Let's get this out of the way.
Just go the big one first.
Let's just hammer this thing out right now.
All right. One of your favorite signatures, Otter's Point.
Correct.
No more. They're shutting it down, and they're going to bring it into character dining.
Fantastic.
What are they going to call this thing?
They're going to call it Story Farts or something.
Oh, Storybook Dining at Artist Point, something like that.
That sounds so nice.
You know, the first thing I thought of was that I think my girls would like it. And to be able to hang out at Wilderness Lodge and be able to eat there, that's a plus for me and a plus for the girls. So I'm all for it. I know you're going to hammer me for that. But when it comes to dining now, when I go on a family trip, my whole priorities have changed. When I go to a restaurant at Disney, I want to get seated right away and have food on the table as quick as possible and have distractions in the form of characters coming by to keep everything moving smoothly. And that's going to be my mindset probably for the next 10 years until we can start taking the girls to more fancy restaurants and have a more laid-back atmosphere. I know you don't like hearing that from me, and that probably breaks your heart, but when I do these adult-only trips, that whole, you know, I'm not going to be looking to book that, but with the girls, that's something that I say, oh, this is in play now. Artist Point is now in play for a dining reservation. Now, what are your thoughts? It's out of your league now at this point.
I think you've got enough, and you keep taking my stuff.
That's true. I agree with that, and I don't think it was necessary to do this, but apparently this place was floundering. From what I've heard from different podcasts and things like that, there was just no one was going there. So they had to do something, and I think they took the easy way out because they know they could throw any couple characters at a restaurant, it's going to drum up business, which is unfortunate because that's just the easy way. They didn't have to use any imagination or creativity. They could have changed the menu, brought a new chef in there, whatever they had to do. even refurb the whole place and redesign the interior to make it more appealing if that was the problem. But they just, I think they took the easy way out and they're just going to bring characters in. And anytime characters come in, you know what happens? The food quality goes down.
Correct.
9 times out of 10, I would Correct. Say. Correct. Because, like, the Trattoria Al Forno breakfast was pretty good. The food was pretty good there. But I hadn't eaten there before, so I can't really compare it to what the food was like before.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure it wasn't as expensive as when I went with the characters. But that was a good experience. I enjoyed that. The food was very good, and the character interaction was good. So I think it's going to be more along the lines of that place where they give you a menu, you get to pick, there's appetizers for the tables to share, and then you get pick your own entree and you get a dessert. So it's not that you're going up to the buffet line, which is a good thing, because you were worried they were going to just change it to another sloppy buffet.
Yeah.
So there is some hope that they could keep this. Now, let me ask you this question.
Go ahead.
What if they keep it, like, the price point very similar and the quality of the food very similar to Artist Point? What if this is a signature and they have, like, beautiful steaks on the menu and a lot of the same things that you like on the menu, and they're just bringing in the characters to try to drum up more business? Would you have a big problem with that?
Well, the thing is we don't know what the heck they're doing for the most part. It was a very vague statement.
Yes, that's true. And it just got announced today, which is Thursday.
So we don't know if it could be just breakfast and dinner and or breakfast and lunch. We don't know what they're doing.
That's true.
But to answer your question, no, I'm not going to go to a character. I'm not going to character dining.
Well, I mean, you have.
I have, but I've been with you.
Right. Well, I'll go with Susie the other day at 1900.
Yes, because we're staying there, and I like to get. And it was my chance. It was a buffet breakfast. Typically, if you're going to get a buffet breakfast, it's pretty much character dining.
They do have a lot of character ones. That's true.
Mm-hmm. And I do like to get I do like a nice buffet for breakfast.
Good buffet
with tons of options.
That's
but
true.
But I'll tell you what, I do not want to have a nice steak and a nice this and a nice that and then have like Mary Poppins walking around whacking me with an umbrella and Dick Van Dyke, and I don't want to deal with that nonsense.
I wouldn't mind hanging out with Dick Van Dyke and having a nice steak. He seems like he'd be a good guy to hang out
with. Yeah, but I don't think you're going to have a nice steak with Dick Van Dyke is what I'm saying. He's not going to sit down and have a steak with you.
No, that's true. Probably not. He's like 97. I don't think he's going to be there at all.
Larry Bird is not coming through that door. And neither is Richard Van Dyke.
Neither is Richard Van Dyke, yeah. I totally understand what you're saying. I just want to see the menu, because if they keep it like at a $70 price point and the menu's like very varied and has some good options, and I'm kind of hopeful for it, but it still takes you out of play because you don't want to pay the extra premium to have the characters when that's the thing you want the least out of it.
Correct.
And actually, you'd like to avoid it if possible.
And why would they bring a high price point? Why would they keep it as a signature? It doesn't make any sense.
I don't know why. I just can't imagine them taking. I mean, I guess if it is not getting any tables filled up, there's no reason for them to keep the price point. But I think since they're keeping the name Artist Point, I wonder if they're going to keep some of the same menu items and try to keep it more upscale. I don't know. But if they didn't do that at the Grand Floridian, they're not going to do it at the Wilderness Lodge to have a signature character experience, you know?
I mean, the thing, too, with Artist Point, and Susie, I took her right around Christmas. She said it's probably one of the prettiest restaurants on property. And that's been said by a lot of people. It's one of the most, it's the place to go for a romantic getaway. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the food. You didn't like it, but I've been twice, and I like the food. So I don't think it was a refurb issue. I don't think it was a chef issue. I don't think it was a menu issue.
Then why weren't people going?
Because it's out of the way.
Yeah, but people go to the stupid other place in there that you like, the Filth Platter place. What's that, Whispering Canyon? That place
yes.
is always banged out.
Yep.
You know, Hoop-Dee-Doo Review is the most out-of-the-way place on property, and that thing's always banged out. So if they... I'm not saying they're on the same page, but if you bring the quality, word gets out and people will go. It's not that far out of the way where people can't get to it. I mean, Gico is always busy, things like that. So there's not really, I don't think that's a good excuse as to why it wasn't popular. I mean, you like the food, but I've heard other people, you know, saying it wasn't the great, like I didn't have a great experience, and I've heard other people say the same thing. Granted, mine was 7 years ago,
mm-hmm.
So I'm sure they've revamped some things since then. I just think if they felt it was broken, obviously they needed to do something, and I think they took the easy way out and just said, oh, we'll just throw some characters in there, food won't matter at that point. We'll be able to sell it out all the time, make some money, and then everyone's happy. But I'd rather had them focus on the food and bring something unique there and bring the quality of food. If that was the problem, if they were getting feedback that the food was a problem, bring the quality of the food up. You know?
See, I think Wilderness Lodge is a tough signature dining location, personally.
You think so?
Yes.
See, I disagree with that because that place like screams like high end like steakhouse, like with all the dark woods in the lobby and everything.
I think the theming is perfect. I think the people who stay there, they always say that say that it is a more expensive moderate, but it's very moderately priced.
Sometimes I think that's been going by the wayside. I think it's becoming more and more popular, and it's also become more and more expensive.
I just never thought a signature fit perfectly there.
No. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It wasn't my favorite, like I said, and I could see what you're saying. Like, people kind of are in a different mode when they stay there. It's not like a high-end kind of feel. It's more of a rustic feel, so you're not looking for that high-end experience.
I think if you look at a lot of the deluxes, the Resort Loop are all destination resorts. It's places that people pay a lot of money for. They do the parks, but they also do a lot of recreation. And I also think Animal Kingdom Lodge is also a place where people relax and hang out by the resort.
Sure.
And Wilderness Lodge was always like, I mean, it's always hustle bustle. The lobby's always busy. The buses are busy. It's one of those where they get up and they get on a bus and they go to the park.
Yeah, I could see kind of what you're saying.
I mean, you look at the Epcot resorts, those are also, people go to the parks. I mean, look at their restaurants. For three high-end deluxe resorts, they don't have a lot of, they don't have a lot of high-end restaurants.
Right, they really have Yachtsman, Flying Fish, and that's it. Everything else is kind of middle of the road.
Right, I mean, they got a burger joint, they got the Italian buffet.
Yeah.
The Italian joint, they got the buffet over at the Beach Club.
Yeah, the best dining on the boardwalk's probably all at the Swan and Dolphin.
Correct.
I mean, I haven't been to any of them, so I don't know, but I've heard only good things like Blue Zoo and obviously Shula's you love
Blue
and
Zoo,
places like that.
Il Molino is fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
So I kind of can see, yeah. So that's like your best dining options are over at the Swan and Dolphin.
No doubt about it.
It's interesting. Well, I'll definitely keep an eye out because I want to see what they do for the menu at this place. Because if they're going to do like a prefix menu and just have a price point, one set price point, and you get to pick from four or five different entrees, it'll be interesting to see, one, where that price point is, and two, what kind of things are on the menu. Because if they dumb it down and they just put out the random, like, flatbread pizzas and things like that, and then you can kind of be like, all right, they're just dumbing everything down. They're just going to try to hustle people in and out and get the characters done with, and then that's it. We'll see. I have some high hopes, but I'm tempering my expectations to be sure.
You know what the other thing too, when we were messaging the other night and I talked about, I was ripping Disney's marketing department. And I always say, how do you not fill these restaurants with locals?
Right.
Why, they basically build a place and they hope that people come. And I think
But they
that
tried,
been,
though. Remember, what was it, last year when you got like 30% off over there?
Yeah, but I got that at Gico and I got that at all the other good restaurants. That was pretty much just, I think, just during a slow period of time.
That's true, yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know how you don't get locals to come to these restaurants.
Yeah, I think they make it somewhat difficult. I don't know if it's just because of the reservation process where people don't even bother.
Yeah, because you gotta go online. They make it so damn difficult.
Yeah.
You gotta go online. If you're a local and you want nothing to do with Disney, but you heard, hey, I heard this California Grill is a really good restaurant, then you find out you gotta get a username and password and blah, 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 just to make a reservation.
You gotta plan it 6 months ahead of time.
Right. There's other places in the surrounding Orlando area that's probably just as good. To hell with it.
Yeah. So I can kind of understand that aspect of it. And then the word gets out on a place like Artist Point doesn't have any buzz. Like, at least California Grill has buzz. Like, that's a place that I'm sure locals try to go to because it has a lot of people talk about it. And, it has good reviews and you hear about it all the time. But you don't hear anyone ever talk about Artist Point.
No, and like the other thing, I mean, you were talking about Hoop-Dee-Doo. But that's been around for 30, 40 years. That's a very popular dinner show. But you look at the signatures that do really well around the Resort Loop, and, well, I'm in the Magic Kingdom. let's go over to California Grill for dinner, or let's go to the Polynesian.
Right. And how many people that go on vacation, they go once a year or once every few years, and they know a lot of Disney stuff. Like, they keep up on the news and the podcasts and stuff. That's their big night out. They go to California Grill, or they go to Narcoosi, or they go to, you know, Jico or whatever it is. No one ever says, oh, our big meal's at Artist Point. You know, if you're on the deluxe dining plan, you want to try to hit up all the signatures, then it gets in there. But no one's first choice is Artist Point.
No, I think it's just easy to go somewhere on the resort loop. You know, your family loves the Grand Floridian Cafe, and typically they hit that place up when it's a Magic Kingdom Park day.
Right.
And they can jump on the boat, or they can get on the monorail and go to one of those three resorts. But Wilderness Lodge, you got to get on a boat. I don't know. I just think it's inconvenient. I'm just playing a homer because I love the place.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of excuses as to why it didn't succeed, but
I know I'm the outlier in this, but I mean, I took the boat twice to go to the Geyser Point quick service bar at Wilderness Lodge. That's how much I liked it. So if it was enough that people liked it, they'd find a way to get there. It's not that hard to get there. You know, you take a boat from Magic Kingdom, it's only a 20-minute boat ride. It's not impossible to get to.
Now, did they say when it's closing?
They said it's going to be reopened this winter.
In the winter, right.
So I imagine they're not going to do much.
No, it's obviously not going to be a refurb because that takes 6 months
at least.
Typically, you know, 6 months or so. So
they don't have to do anything to the kitchen, obviously. They'll probably put a fresh coat of paint on it, maybe close it for 4-6 weeks or something.
We might have to look into maybe going there for our guys' weekend.
Artist Point?
Yes.
Not high on my list.
One last hurrah.
You can go.
All right, maybe I'll just go.
Just go by yourself.
Me and Schaefer can go.
Yeah. That's it. I don't have any other thoughts on that. I'll wait and see till when they announce some more details.
Yeah, we'll get back into it. We'll definitely review the menu.
The menu. Yeah, we love doing that anyway. We do.
You had to have looked at Willing Steak and you were just drooling though. Could you feel
it looked good?
Were your hunger pains just starting to grrr?
How tempted are you when you get the steak like that to just pick it up by that bone and just start gnawing away at it?
Just load it with salt and just chewing it like a dog.
You don't need salt. You just keep it just as is. No salt necessary. Just get that crunch. Just bite right in.
UConn just scored again, Billy.
They were in business.
I'm sorry. That was UCF. I got fooled by the white uniform.
Oh,
I'm
boy.
Sorry. Yeah, this is out of reach now. I was just going to say it's a ball
now
game.
Now it's out of reach.
It's out of reach.
We just went. That was a quick turnaround. What a way to bring up my hopes.
It went from 28-17 to 35-10. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
This is Eric. Well, they were. I mean, like you said, they are the defending national champions.
That's right.
It's funny how, like, teams who win a national champion undefeated season, then their coach takes a different job to a school that hasn't won in years.
Well, hey, what are you going to do? I mean, that's
sure Nick Saban would leave for, like, Oklahoma.
Or the Miami Dolphins or something.
Yeah.
Coaches always leave. I mean, yeah, it's not a top program, but you have to admit they had a good year.
Yeah, they had a good year.
They probably should have been, at the end of the year, number 3 or 4. Based on what they did,
I don't know.
It's hard to knock them.
Yeah, but it's whatever. I'm not going to get into UCF. We talked about that a year ago.
I know. We all know the SEC is so much better.
Yeah. Oh, it's so much better. What then? Then what? What is this thing? I don't even know what this thing is.
This is the American Athletic, home of the national champions.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know what this conference was called.
Defending national champion. Central
that's true.
Florida.
Yeah, that is true.
All right. What's your next point of news you had to get to?
Let's talk about that streaming thing that Disney's doing.
Yeah, I haven't really been keeping up on it too much. I know they've been trying to like pull stuff off Netflix in the next couple of years, and they're going to start their own streaming service with all this content they've been aggregating over the years. They got Marvel, Star Wars, they got Fox now. Everything is just kind of coming under the umbrella, so they're just going to do their own streaming service.
Okay.
And I don't know, have they announced any price point? I heard it's going to be less than Netflix
initially. Yep.
But the problem is, and this has nothing to do with Disney or anything, but all this streaming stuff, like, all these people cut the cord, right? That's the big thing, get rid of cable.
Oh, yeah, cord cutting. That's why ESPN's a failure, cord cutting.
And it's real, and people are doing it, but then you end up having to subscribe to 10 different services, and you're paying just as much per month as you were for cable for a lot of the same content. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to subscribe to Netflix. You got to subscribe to Hulu. You got to subscribe to Amazon. You got to subscribe to HBO. You got to subscribe to somehow get ESPN for your sports. You got to do this and this and this. And all of a sudden, you're looking at $93 a month for all your streaming stuff. And now you got to add the Disney one on there. And but I mean, granted, you could kind of pick and choose. But there's so much out there that you got to try to keep up with. You know, I don't know. It's tough. But the Disney one is, I don't know. I'm not super interested in it on its own. Like, I'll wait and see what the original stuff they do, because I like a lot of the original stuff that comes out of these streaming services, like the Netflix shows, the originals I like, and even some on like Amazon and Hulu are pretty good. But I end up just watching the same stuff. I watch like Cheers and The Office and The Simpsons and stuff like that. So it's not like I'm watching a lot of current TV. What's your thoughts? I know you had something you wanted to say about this.
I mean, I think it'll actually be pretty good, because although I hate ESPN, they have great original programming.
Yeah, they do.
If you can watch like a lot of 30 for 30s and E360s and a lot of their shows, and I think that's beautiful.
You get
a lot of Disney movies. You're going to get the ABC content. You're going to get the Fox. I mean,
think of all like the ESPN classic stuff. Imagine right. They put like all archives of like old college football games, like 1983, like Georgia versus Clemson college right. football games. Like right. You would be watching that all day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're going to go that deep into the library, but I'm sure they'll have a lot of stuff on there from that. And like, yeah, like you said, all the ABC shows, all that stuff they can get on there. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously their content is incredible.
Their content's going to be amazing.
Just the stuff that you know that's going to be on there, that doesn't even have anything to say with new stuff that they can create to put on there. So again, it's a wait and see once you get an idea of what it's going to look like and how everything's going to work, but it's going to be really hard for them to mess this up.
Right.
This thing is teed up for them, isn't it?
Yes.
They have all the content, they have the name, they have the fan base that's willing to pay for it. All they have to do is put all the damn Star Wars movies on there and you'll get, you know, a million subscribers.
All day. I mean, I guarantee you're going to subscribe.
Yeah, I mean, if I get the whole Disney library with all the animated movies, I mean, right. That's a no-brainer with the two girls, just to be able to watch all the Pixar movies and all the Disney movies at a click of a button.
Right.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer.
Now, the other thing, too, is you bring me back to being a kid and getting the old-school Disney Channel, back when Disney Channel was Disney Channel.
Yeah.
Back when they had the Mickey Mouse Club and they had Donald Duck present and Good Morning Mickey. And I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, that show was morning to night watching. They had, you know, a couple shows where they went into the parks. Inside Out was a great, great, great show. I still YouTube that.
We'll see what they do, because obviously that content's still all there.
Right.
It's just a question of how much popularity they think it will have and if mm-hmm. it's worth it for them to upload. But yeah, that would be incredible as well.
Mm-hmm.
All the old school stuff. Imagine like all the, the Wide World of Sports, all those old shows.
Yep.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yep.
There's a lot of stuff that can be on there. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is great news.
Yeah, I like it.
And I mean, you know, I was reading about how Bob Iger said that this is going to be their number one priority in the year. And, you know, that's the only negative that I see is that's all this guy cares about.
Oh, he's trying to make his mark and show, like, I mean, he's made a huge mark, obviously, in the things he's done, but he's only acquired. This is his first, like, creation, is the streaming mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah, all he's done is bought intellectual property. I mean, that's what this guy's really good at.
That's going to be his legacy.
That's his legacy. Maybe he's increased profits, increased, you know, price per share. I mean, he's been a great CEO.
Oh, of course. If you're a shareholder,
right.
You love him. He hasn't really had any missteps in acquisitions and things like that. But now this is his chance to leave this as his thing that you can point to and say, this is what I created. You know, mm-hmm. all those mergers and acquisitions were to create this, you know, the number one streaming or whatever it ends up being, this giant media thing that we have that we could take over the world with, which basically, mm-hmm. you know, if this thing gains enough momentum and they put enough content on there, it's going to be the one thing that everyone needs to have. If they get ESPN in the mix and you get all live sports on there, all of a sudden cable, they could kill cable with this if they wanted to.
Yeah, they probably could.
If they needed to. And that, you know, and think about who's their big competition. Comcast, what are they, a cable company?
Right.
You know, who went? They were the ones in the bidding war for Fox.
Yeah, and then they finally bowed out. I mean, that was getting ugly. We can talk about that another time.
Oh, man. Those, it's stupid. You look at those numbers, and it's like, how do you even, like, where does this money come from?
Mm-hmm.
$75 billion all-cash offer. Oh, that must be nice. I'll take half of that in stocks, yeah.
Do you ever worry, though, that Disney is
spreading themselves too thin?
I think it's already become that way, though, that they're more known as a media outlet than they are as a theme park resort.
Well, they've always been media first. I mean, the theme parks were always there as a secondary option to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
But at one point, they were the only thing holding the company together. Through the downtimes, when the studios weren't doing good, the parks and resorts were like the backbone.
Right.
And they're still one of the most profitable arms of the company. But the studios are just banging it out. I mean, they have very rare misses. They're just making so much money for them. And yeah, I mean, you've seen decline in some of the things that happens at the parks, and you just wonder if the focus just isn't there on the quality.
Yeah, I don't think it is. You know, I think the problem is that this stuff, it's been paid for 30 or 40 years.
Right.
Granted, you know, they have to do upgrades and they have overhead. You know, they've got cast members and they've got this. But I mean, this product has been paid for 40 years, and it's just an absolute cash cow.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, there's going to be neglect.
Yes. But I think they need, I think with the 50th coming up in a couple of years, obviously they're putting a lot into it. And I think that might be kind of the rejuvenation, because Star Wars Land will be open. As much as you and I aren't looking forward to it, that's a big step for them. Obviously, once they get the Star Wars Land open and Disneyland and Disney World.
And what that's doing is brilliant too. And I got to give Iger credit for that. You're drawing in such a huge number of people.
That otherwise would not go to Disney World.
Disney people, you know?
Right.
I mean, Harry Potter did it for Universal, and Iger, I think, went bigger than that. And with the Star Wars acquisition, I mean, he is just, you're going to bring in so many people into these parks now.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be stupid. And you know what? Even if 5% of them get addicted to the Disney bug, like Disney World bug or Disneyland bug, think of how many more people that's going to be that are going to be annual pass holders or DVC members or whatever it is, you know?
Correct. I mean, how many geeks live in the surrounding areas who are probably just going to get annual passes, even if it's just weekend or weekday or whatever the cheap ones are, just so that they can go hang out at Hollywood Studios for a few hours and get their fix?
It's going to be such a cluster, you know what, when that place first opens. They're going to have to restructure the way they do everything for a theme park just for that. There's going to be so many people trying to go for the first 6 months a year that they may have to charge separate admission just for, like, have park hoppers that only allow you to go to Epcot, Magic Kingdom, and Animal Kingdom and charge extra for that. They need to do something to mitigate it, because it's going to be such a nightmare to get to that place.
Uh-huh.
And I'm fine with that. If it gives me no waits at Epcot and Magic Kingdom and everything.
Oh, throw them all there. Throw them all there.
Cramming over there. I mean, I'll miss Tower of Terror, but you know what? I'll see you in 5 years. It'll
and
still
put
be
a
there.
And put a fence in and keep them there.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that.
Yep.
I have no desire to step foot in Star Wars Land for the first 10 years it's open.
Wow.
I mean, if I go and if they just, like, you could just walk in, because I feel like there's going to be waits just to get into it for a long time. Because that section will probably reach capacity, you know? You know, if I'm there and I walk by and it's like, oh, I'll just go poke my head in and look around. But I have no, I'm not going to go out of my way to try to go to that place, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm more excited about the stuff they're doing at Epcot than I am over there, obviously.
Right.
I don't know. That's all I have on that. Yep. It always comes back to the parks for us, parks and resorts.
Yeah, and then it funnels down into food.
Into food. So the last thing I want to mention here for the news, which I'm sure you've heard.
Go ahead, Jamin.
Yeah, Jamin. This is going to be a quick one because I don't think there's a lot of debate, but they just agreed on a new contract for union workers at Disney to start in a couple years. They'll start earning $15 an hour. Which, you know, whatever they negotiated for it, that's fine. But the other things I was looking at, did you see this piece of news that kind of got buried a little bit? But now Disney is offering to pay 100% of college tuition for cast members.
No, I didn't.
Did you see that? Yeah, so that's a pretty cool thing. So they're encouraging their cast members to either obviously stay in school or go back to school, and they're going to pay 100% tuition for their cast members.
Oh,
so
wow.
That's a pretty cool thing.
Would you have to dig deep to find that one?
Yeah, that wasn't.
I'm sure it wasn't on page one.
It got some publicity, but not a whole lot. But, you know, a lot of other things come up and people focus on those. But, you know, I have no problem with the cast members making a little bit of money, especially with the economy being, I mean, they're having trouble keeping the place staffed because of how low the unemployment rate is.
Billy, what I love is the free market, and I think if a private entity says, I'm going to pay you $20, $25, if they paid them $100 an hour, I say, God bless, good for you.
Right, if that's what you could get, because at this point, they can. These guys have options. There's plenty of places hiring, so if this you're only going to...
Go ahead.
Like you said, it's a free market. If they're only going to pay you $11 an hour, and you can make $13.50, $14 down the street, well, more power to that person. And then, yeah, Disney's got to step it up to keep the employees. If they want the people, they're going to have to pay them at this point.
This is free market at work. I tell people, I said, it's like watching a beautiful painting. It's just gorgeous when it comes together.
Yeah, 8-10 years ago when the economy was crappy and people were lining up at the door to get a job, they didn't have to go above minimum wage. That's what it was.
What I always loved was every cast member that I knew personally would talk so highly about their experience and how much they loved it. Mm-hmm. And then people who have never set foot in Disney were the ones who were ripping that company.
Yeah, they don't.
And that's how it is in the real world anyways.
Mm-hmm.
You got the Monday morning quarterbacks talking about how terrible Disney is, and I talk to people who work there, and they say, oh my God, I love it. I got my dream job. I'm so happy.
Yeah, I hear you. I got nothing else. You want to take another break here?
Yeah, let's go to our second break, Mr. Klinsman. Break episode number 235 is in the books. Mr. Klinsman's been joining me up in Westerly, Rhode Island.
That is correct.
Did you try Food Chalet yet?
I went in there the other day.
It wasn't as filthy as you thought it was it?
No, it was fine. And there was a big line, and they had like no menu board. I didn't even know how to order, so I got into.
What were you looking for? A sandwich?
I didn't know. I wanted to see what they had, and they just had people standing around and. They were ordering stuff, and I'm like, well, where's their menu? You just go up and just ask for something? I didn't even know what to do.
Would you ever just go and get a rotisserie chicken and just bring it back and cut it, carve it on your workstation?
I have no problem with that, yeah.
Those rotisserie chickens are so good.
But I was definitely too intimidated. It was like prime lunchtime, and there were a lot of people in there that knew what they were doing, and I felt
kind of like the soup Nazi. You weren't. It was your first time. You didn't know what to do.
Yeah, I just wanted to get a lay of the land.
Instead of yelled at, you got the hell out, right?
That's a smart move, isn't it?
Went next door to Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, forgot what I ended up getting that day, but it definitely wasn't Food Chalet.
Yeah,
gentlemen.
Oh, that post that you posted too was fantastic. That steak and was that ribeye and a shrimp and scallops.
Yeah, that's on.
What was going on that plate?
That's that. What's that guy? The food TV maitre d. Joe Zito, was he on when you were in Rhode Island?
I don't know. What channel's he on? Was he on?
He was on like Public Access or whatever.
No,
like he
I
would
don't remember
go him. Around to all the local restaurants and like talk to the owners. So they were doing a segment with the head chef at Twin Oaks, and they made that dish.
Oh my goodness gracious!
Did that look nice?
Oh, that looked beautiful.
All right, I don't have anything else. You want to bring us home, sir?
I got nothing. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Radio, Google Play. Support for podcast. Email the show info@poor4podcast. You can email me. Mike at Poor for War Podcast. Our social media, Facebook, Twitter, at Poor for War Podcast. Mr. Klinsman,
I am Gary at poorforwarpodcast.com and youtube.com/poorforwarpodcast. Check us out there.
Give us a like, subscribe to our page, leave a comment.
Yes,
thank you
please.
Very much, Mr. Klinsman. Well, thanks for listening to episode 235 of the Poor for War Mantengase Alejandro De Les Podcast from Mr. Klinsman up in Westerly, Rhode Island. I am Professor Hurley.
teaching you Economics 101 down in sunny Southwest Florida. And we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. better than Ella Street.